right, guys, here we are at Moffat Beach. We're at the production facility. They've got their other one down on the beach side, obviously. This is Australia's most awarded craft brewery, and we can't wait to get in there, chat to Matty. It's a good mate of mine. I'm going to drink some beers, probably going to have one or two, and we're going to have some lunch, so let's go. Mate, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Mate, yeah, no, thanks for the opportunity to have a chat.
Oh, mate, we were stoked when you let us come in here. It, first of all, mate, I want to say massive congrats for the awards at the ABERS the other day.
Thank you.
Boy, when this goes out, it's probably been a while, but that doesn't matter. Yeah, 6 medals, 5 gold, 2 trophies.
I can't remember, mate. It was
no. I'm telling you. Like, I'm not asking. I'm telling you. I read it this morning.
I know about the trophies.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, it was. It's been a bit of a whirlwind the last couple of weeks because Shaz and I were over in the States. We went to CBC over there, which was amazing.
I'd love to go to that
and
one day.
Yeah, if you ever get the chance, do it.
Yeah. The Rebel Boys had a good time too. They stayed over there for a long time.
Yeah, we caught up with them, and we stayed for. We got some friends in Chicago that we hadn't seen in 10 years, so they showed us around their city, which was fun as well.
Yeah.
Some awesome beer
in Chicago.
What a cool
opportunity.
But yeah, look, caught up with the Rebel Boys, had an awesome time. But yeah, back, and then I was like straight off the plane, had a sleep, back into, we had a fair bit of packaging to do, so straight back into work, and then... then we went down to Melbourne, which was the last thing I felt like doing.
Yeah, I bet.
But, had an event on at the local tap house, Brewers and Chewers. If anyone ever gets a chance to do that. It was a really, really awesome event.
Was that part of Good Beer Week? Or?
Yeah, they do it every year. I think it was the 12th year that they've done it.
Yeah,
and it was such a fun event. Like, it was very casual. But, yeah, basically, I think they had, like, 8 or 10 tables, and then there was about eight to ten of us brewers.
Yep.
And it was like speed dating. You just spent about 20 minutes on each table just talking about your beer and your brewery and your experience. So that was really a lot of fun. We went and saw a few people the next day. Went out and saw Mazen at Hawkers, and then we saw the guys at Moondog.
Nice.
And then went to Carwin Cellars and met up with the filter guys and preloaded with a couple of 12% pastry stouts. And I went home and had a kip, and then we hooked into the awards. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, look, the thing that we were really happy with was just the consistency. You know, going. Yep. I was over the moon to get one AIBA trophy, you know, last year. To do it again, we were super, super stoked.
Mate, that's essentially what it is, right? It's that consistency that you want in your beers, because if people, it's like the McDonald's effect, right? If you go into McDonald's, you know what you want, and you want it like that every time you get it.
Yep.
And you want that same thing, because now you've got two venues and you're selling beer out to a bunch of places. You don't want someone getting that beer and it's different to what they remember at a different experience.
Absolutely, and it's testament to the brew team that I've got here. I suppose my strength is probably on the recipe development side. You know, that's what I've been sort of doing at home. I craft that for, you know, started the brewery at Moss in 2015. But I'm not, I have never worked in a bigger brewery. I've done a bit of gypsy brewing with the other Matt Wilson down at 7 Mile. So, you know, and then Jim, who's my best mate, who I was in the army with, he was working with me for a while, and his work ethic was second to none. And I'd lay down some SOPs and I know that they'd be done. But Dylan Walter started with us, it's coming up to probably 9 months ago now. He moved up from Capital to take the role with us, and he's just put in place just a few things that we weren't doing, you know, just get things a little bit more efficient.
Because maybe, as you said, if you've never had that training and you're just doing it all off, you just expand and your knowledge as you go.
Yeah, I was just really pleased that, you know, I can give Dill the recipe and it'll be done exactly how we want it. He's also put a few little systems in place that have helped our efficiencies as well.
So, man, efficiencies is the name of the game too, isn't it?
Big time.
Yeah,
big time.
If you can save a dollar or save some time or ingredients somewhere, it's makes a massive difference at the end of the line. So let's backtrack a bit.
Yep.
So the Moss story, let's hear it from the Beach Cafe.
I'm sure.
Everyone probably knows.
Probably
a ton
everyone
of it,
knows.
Yeah.
I've said it a million times, but yeah, look, Shaz and I were living and working in Sydney. We had two young children. They were like babies, basically. Yep. I got made redundant from my job there. Shaz had wanted to get out of Sydney forever.
Yeah, yeah.
She's born and bred there. I'm not from the country originally. So yeah, I'd been made redundant. Shaz had only just gone back to her job as an options trader.
Yeah.
After being on maternity leave for almost 3 years, because we have the kids sort of back to back. And she was only there 3 days a week. And I got a little bit of a payout, but it wasn't gonna cut it living in Sydney. And I was gonna struggle to get another role doing what I was doing.
Yep.
I left school and joined the army and I sort of jagged that job that I had there. So Shaz found this little cafe on the beach at Moffat. She said, look at this place. Let's move to the Sunshine Coast and start a cafe. Because we were both foodies and we loved going to Four Pines at Manly at that stage and craft beer I was starting to get into that. And I went, what do I know about running a cafe or anything, hospitality?
Yeah.
She goes, no, we can do it. And Shaz had always worked in hospitality as a second job and things like that. She worked at the casino as a croupier as well before she got into finance. But yeah, we flew up and we had a look at the place, and it was the worst day on the Sunshine Coast. The rain was coming in. It was coming in sideways.
Yeah, okay.
It was like a cyclone. And we thought that we were buying or going to buy a going concern, but it was obvious that this bloke had gone broke.
Yep.
And the place was probably a little bit bigger than what we envisaged. I don't know. And I went, my brain sort of ticked over and I thought, even if it doesn't work out, there's probably enough equity in the equipment that it's going to cost us. We can just flog it off and we'll be sweet. The real estate agent goes, this guy is desperate.
Yeah, right.
So, he wants this, but he'd probably take this. So next thing you know, we were driving up the Pacific Highway with two kids in the car going, what have we done? But then we just came over the hill, Seaview Terrace, and then we just saw it was paradise and we're gone. We've hit jackpot. But yeah, we gutted the place.
Yep.
It was
on your mind from day one.
Yeah, it was. Didn't know how I was going to get into it or do it, or even if it was sort of possible. The thing that we've always done is we've never really overextended ourselves. We've bought stuff when we could afford it.
Yep.
So we, like, even the renovation that we did there, I wouldn't even call it a renovation. We just gave the place a really good clean.
Yep.
We gave it a lick of paint. We used the equipment that was there. And then when we could afford stuff, we bought it. So I suppose our light bulb moment was when it was a Sunday, we'd been painting in there. We went round to the BWS, round at Dickey Beach, which was the closest bottle shop, the closest place you could get any alcohol at all. And we bought a six pack of Four Pines Parallel bottles.
Yep.
Back when everyone was drinking bottles. That's 2012. And we sat at those benches, the one where the Tirana hit. We sat there and we had a beer and we watched the waves roll in. And we watched the two cafes that were next to us. And they're at that stage, they were two Nana cafes.
Yep.
And we just watched them pack up. Like, the place was packed.
Yeah.
And we watched them pack up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. With people everywhere,
people are down on the beach.
Yeah,
and I said,
why is no one doing beer here? You know, you need to get a guy with a guitar and a couple of beers and do a Sunday set. So that became our first sort of little focus of what we did. So I wrote an email to Four Pines. I was a massive fan of their beers at the time. I got an email back from a guy called Brad Fidge, and I'm still good mates with him. And he goes, look, we're not in the business of putting taps in for people, but we've got this kegerator that was just sitting around that they would use for the odd festival. He goes, you can have that, but the deal is you can only put Four Pines through it, which is fair enough. So we set that up. Four Pines Kolsch was the first beer that we had on.
I love that beer.
Yeah, and but the thing was, the beer had to be really cold before it went into that kegerator. And we just had the kitchen cool room. So we'd buy two kegs at a time. We had one in the cool room and then one in the kegerator. And this Sunday session went off.
Yep.
But the issue we got was that we changed a keg halfway through the Sunday session, and then the chefs would be walking in and out of the cool room, and that keg just wasn't quite cold enough. So we'd be pouring foam and stuff. So then I rang Fiji and I said, mate, I need another kegerator.
Yeah.
So he gave me another one, and then we had on 4 pints Kolsch and 4 pints pale ale, and then the same thing sort of started happening. So we then went and put in like a 6-tap ambient system.
Yep.
If I had my time over, I wouldn't have put that
in. Right.
Just because it's so hot here and, you know.
Because you don't realise it until like now, it's a really nice day.
So it was,
you see 23 degrees. But
most of the time it was fine.
Yeah.
It was just if there was some beers that weren't moving as quick as others.
Yep.
You know, that they were sort of turning a little bit quicker than others. So, but in saying that, we did move through the beer pretty quick. So we started off with, what was the beers we had on there? We had 4 pints Kolsch, 4 pints pale ale. We had Stone and Wood Pacific A. We had Murray's Whale Ale. We had Holgate Mount Macedon Pale Ale. And we had Moobrew Pilsner. So that was the lineup that we started with. And then by this stage, I had started brewing at home. Just had a little brew in a bag system.
Yep.
The first beer that I ever brewed on that was our Hipster Doofus ESB, which is on tap here today.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, excellent. I love an ESB.
We brewed that on the little kit about a month ago. So, and I'm probably 100% certain it was riddled with faults and diacetyl and all the rest of it. But I had that, and it was the best beer that I ever had in my life. I'm like, this is awesome.
This is what I want to do.
Yeah, and then I was just hooked on it from that point of time. It overtook the garage.
Yeah,
I had tap systems in there, and you know, before I knew it, I had stainless steel fermenters. And anyway, Shaz just said, look, the beers at home are tasting pretty good. We've got that bit of the cafe there. No one ever sat there except at Christmas time when we were packed, because
And you had no other seats, and people were like, I just want a seat.
So people wanted to look. They want to look at the ocean down there, you know, because the venue does look over the beach.
Yep.
So maybe we look at putting in a little system here. So we put in a little tiny 300 litre system. If I had my time over, I would have put in a bigger one.
Like 500-ish?
Yeah, probably 500.
Yep.
Or even 600. Because the issue that we had was we just, from day one, we just couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
So then, we had like little single fermenters, like, we should have put, at the very least, we should have put double batch fermenters in, but, you know, I was inexperienced and I didn't know.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, hindsight's great, right?
Yeah, eventually we moved two of those fermenters across to the Brewdeck side, and then we put in some double ones, and we still couldn't keep up. and the beer was average, like, I've got no hang-ups about saying that, but I think the locals just,
because you're still learning, right?
I was definitely still learning. The biggest issue I had was scaling up from, you know, a 20 litre kit in my garage to 300. It just wasn't it wasn't a matter of just timesing it in a linear fashion. So after about 6 months, I dialed it in. I was happy with the bitterness was just so out of balance, and then, like, I've got a pretty good palate, I'd like to think so anyway. So I got it where the beers were balanced, and but they were losing their freshness really quickly, and I was sort of couldn't work out how. Anyway, so we entered beers in I think they were called the Australian Craft Beer Awards, back when the IBA was then called and the reason we entered was because it was in Brisbane, so it was just down the road to take a few kegs down there. And I've told this story a million times, but the feedback that we got from entering those, the beers was pretty brutal.
Yep. It can go one or two ways, right, there, when you get that. You can be
absolutely,
like, those guys know nothing, everyone loves my beer and I'm having a good time, or you can go, okay, well, how do I improve?
Absolutely.
And
I'd be lying if I said it didn't sting a little bit, but I didn't get upset. I didn't go, these guys are fucked. I went, okay, let's use this feedback and use it to improve. So, and that's what I did. And there was one common fault that was in every beer,
yep,
which was oxidation. There were some other faults, like there was diacetyl in a couple of them and whatnot. And
yep.
So I just went to work, worked out, okay, where's this oxygen getting in?
Yeah.
I was actually using one of the tanks as a bright tank, and I wasn't purging the line with oxygen.
CO2?
Sorry, with CO2, and so the beer was coming out. So they were just getting oxidized straight up. I then started like uni tanking, which is what I should have done from the start. But and then, yeah, look, the beers improved out of sight. The next year we entered some beers into the, they were still the CBIAs then, Craft Beer Awards, that was down in Adelaide. So we went down there and we managed to pick up gold for our Iggy Hop Double IPA, which is still a cult favourite.
I love that beer, yeah.
We've actually got it in tank at the moment. I'm not allowed to brew it as often as I used to, because it is a very, very expensive beer to make.
Yeah.
We picked up a gold for that, and then Summer got a silver, and our Josh Porter Parlour got a silver. So we just kept improving, and then the next year in 2018, which was then the Indies, which was at in Sydney, we managed to pick up a trophy for our Social Jam Pale Mid, which is part of our core range to this day, and that recipe hasn't changed. We picked up a trophy for that, which we were just blown away by.
You'd be hoping for another gold or even a silver,
And I think the Summer picked up a gold there as well. Like we ended up winning champion small brewery, I think it was at that time. And then as soon as that happened, we just could not
keep up.
Every single drop that we brewed was served over the taps.
Yep.
In our own venue.
And now everyone wants it.
And we had a few people sort of inquiring, and we're just kind of, we can't do it.
Yeah.
It got to the stage, like it was at Christmas time, and we only had one of our beers on tap.
Yeah, right.
And it was a stout.
And because you just couldn't keep up that much.
We just couldn't keep up. We were buying beer in from the other breweries, which we loved
doing.
Loved
doing, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Sometimes it's good to have that second.
But we wanted to have, it's more of our own beers on tap. So we thought, okay. We're starting to get a few runs on the board now. Maybe we look at putting in a bigger production facility.
Was it the thought to put in a bigger production facility there?
No, because it just didn't have
the
room.
It's never going to work.
We were looking at a different site.
Yep.
We did want to stay in Moffat Beach. So there's a little industrial area there at Moffat Beach. One of our customers, Michael Kramer, owned some land there. Michael sold the land to someone else, but
with the thing saying,
yeah, guys and we met with the property developer, and he was still going to build the shed for us and us be the tenant there.
Yeah.
We're like, yep, cool. The settlement got extended by 3 months because I think he must have had trouble getting the finance.
Yep.
And then at the end of that, the deal fell through.
Yeah.
And that was 6 months. We'd already
been waiting.
We'd ordered the kit and we'd had to tell them to sort of stop because we didn't want it to arrive.
Have nowhere to put it.
And then we just went, you know what? We might have to look somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then this shed here where we are had been empty for I think about 18 months, and it was originally built for ARB, so we came in here and we had a look at it, and we thought, you know, it's not at Moffat Beach, but it's
not far.
5 minutes.
Yeah
We negotiated with the landlord and they've been awesome. So we agreed to terms.
Well, this has been a great chat so far, and Matty's got so much to say that you're going to have to come back for part two. Tune in next time.